I want to quickly jump into a subject that for me has just been so pertinent. Tracy and I, as you know, we came to visit the first time in April. And as we drove in, and you might even have heard this here already, but as we drove in, Tracy's response when she saw Bethlehem was, "I can't do this. I can't do this." Remember, context, we lived in the Western Cape. The most beautiful city in Africa. It is one of the top most beautiful cities in the world. It is the fifth most traveled to destination in the world. It is wow. And then we drove into Bethlehem. And Tracy's like, ah! So, but here's the beautiful thing of the God that we serve. He is so kind. He is so gentle. He is so loving and so intentional. So we spent 12 days here in April. And in 12 days, a lot of you folk weren't around because it was Easter weekend. And what I've realized with long weekends, as we see, there's no one in Bethlehem. Other than Bloemfontein guys. And Joburg guys, apparently, because we bumped into some Joburg friends in Clarence on Saturday. But, and every day as we drove through the town, the Lord was so kind and so gentle in showing us the beauty that is Bethlehem. In every little thing. To the point that after 12 days, Tracy's response was, "I haven't heard the Lord say, 'Thus say the Lord,' but my heart is peaceable." And it was an awesome thing because I'd heard the Lord before we came. And for the Lord to just gently and with his loving kindness show her each and every little thing that I didn't have to say, "Tracy, we're just going to have to suck it up, buttercup. We're going to have to come." I didn't have to do that because of his beautiful kindness. So I want to talk into kindness and the Lord's kindness a little bit. But before I can talk into to his kindness, I need to set a baseline that us as humans are different to God. Anyone notice that? Anyone notice? He's holy. And we're dirty, rotten sinners. Actually, and we've been dealing with that a lot. We've spoken a little bit about his mercy. And it's only because of his mercy that we can even come into his presence. But actually, God is so much greater than we are. He's just so much greater. So in Jeremiah 31, 3, he says, "I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I've continued my faithfulness to you." Just let that sink in. God's faithfulness and his kindness towards us, it's everlasting. And in Romans 2:4, I think we read part of this here last week. "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience?" The richness of his kindness and forbearance and patience. Not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. So we read that scripture last week. But because of his kindness, he brings us to repentance. So repentance is actually a heart posture because he's kind. We find this place where we're only able to say, "Oh, I'm a sinner. Let me turn 180 degrees. Let me walk to the Father." The very ability to do that is because of his kindness, Scripture says. And then in Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. So his kindness is abundant and eternal. But look at that scripture. It says, in Jesus Christ. So the very kindness is found in Christ. In salvation itself is kindness. And then in Hebrews, we jump to Hebrews 12, and it says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So even in discipline, we see love in action, which confirms our sonship and inclusion into his family. His kindness. His kindness. We see a God who loves so intently. And because he's kind in nature, he'll discipline us. Why? So that we can reflect the Father better. So we can look more like Jesus. Like that we can walk more like Jesus. That we can act more like Jesus to glorify him. And it's abundant. We could go for days reading scriptures on and on and on. In Psalm 136, it talks of his kindness is everlasting. It's not fleeting. It's not fleeting. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. But on the contrary, we're evil. By nature, we're evil. Why? Because Adam fell. And we all are born into death. But let's look at how man, if we're not in Christ, does it. So the human reaction is not kindness generally. It's rejection or isolation. Don't know about any of you. My father rejected me for many, many years. I lived with major rejection all my life. At the age of 8, I stayed with my mother. My parents were divorced. And my dad literally treated me different from the other children. By the time I got to 47 years old, my dad actually made a statement to say he's going to live in another nation overseas with his daughter, because there's nothing left for him in South Africa. It was that radical. And please, I don't have father wounds anymore. That's been dealt with. The Lord has helped me through that. But I've known rejection all my life. All my life. But that's the nature of man. And when we're not in Christ, when we're not rooted in the Lord, we're inclined to be harsh or isolate or unkind. So that is man's nature. So in Psalm 27:10, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. The human rejection. The human rejection. It's opposite from kindness. We even look at the human rejection of Christ himself. Isaiah 53:3. Jesus, what's actually a prophetic word about Jesus being rejected. Christ was despised and rejected by men and a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. It's the ultimate example of rejection. And that is, I think we go to Romans. I'll get to the scripture just now. I'm just going to jump in with a little bit of it. In Romans 8, it talks about the stone that was... In Matthew 21, talks about the cornerstone, the stone that was rejected. And Jesus, I think we all know the story where in Matthew 21 it talks about the stone that was rejected becomes the cornerstone. And the cornerstone is Jesus. And on that cornerstone, rejected by man, man rejects that, rejects Jesus, even to the point of a cross. They crucify him. So human rejection is nature. If it doesn't fit in with our plan, if it doesn't fit in with our fleshly desires, we reject it. Think about how much teaching you've had over the years that when you first heard it, when you first heard it, it was like, oh, that's wrong. So some of you may even have listened to the Philippians scripture just now and said, oh, I think he's stretching that in terms of tithes and offerings. Some of you might have. Or when you first got saved, that very scripture might even have been offensive. Oh, they just want my money. You may have rejected it. But as you've walked the road with Christ, and as you've matured in Christ, that thing starts to shift. That thing starts to shift. And you start to see that what Paul is saying in Philippians there about that the tithes and the offerings and a gift, you actually start to realize, actually, this is honoring to the Lord, and I can no longer just reject that thing. I've got to receive it in Christ. So our very mindsets change from being hostile towards God and unbelieving and rejecting the Word of God. But as we step closer to Christ, as we step into relationship with Christ, we see that we stop rejecting Him like the cornerstone and we start accepting. So if you go to the character of God, He is kind. The character of man is unkind. But as we get closer to Christ, as we submit more of our lives, as we enter in more with Him, we start to become more accepting of who He is. And His kindness starts to work in our heart. So in the same way that when we drove into Bethlehem, Tracy could have held that stand. And the next morning, that stand was still there. It was like, oh, please don't make me do this. Because Tracy does know me. If there's a call, I'm the guy who will run at it. But she said, please don't make me do this. And it was like, no, no one's going to make you do anything. You need to find that place in the Lord where actually there is desire. There is desire. And that can only be found in God. Trust me, I didn't want to live a goody-two-shoes life. That was never me. I was a bad boy. That was me. I wanted to run rogue. As a youngster, I thought I would die in my 30s. I lived by the philosophy of live fast, die young, have a good-looking corpse. So I really didn't worry about old age. I never thought I'd get there. But as I've come to know the Lord, and as I've submitted my will into His, as I've sacrificed my fleshly desire, I'm no longer unkind. There's times I do unkind acts, please. And if you see that, please call me on it, because I want to change it. I want to be that guy. But I'm still a fleshly man. But by desire now, I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I want to be inclusive. I want to receive in as opposed to reject. I don't want to live the life I was exposed to. I want to live the life I'm now exposed into. And for me, making that shift is firstly, it's a head decision. And as I tell my head, this is what is good and right. Whatsoever is good, right, pure, of good report, think on these things, Scripture says. So as I get my head into agreement and I make the first step into Christ and say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. First step. He comes in by his grace and his power and he shifts my heart. It's now not head knowledge. It becomes transformative in my life because my heart chooses what is good because he is kind. Because he's everlasting. So you may have also experienced rejection in your life. You may have experienced just really bad actions. You actually may even have grown up in a Christian home and known the Lord all your cognitive life. You may have. But that in itself is not enough. That in itself is not enough. Because if we don't come to the Father through Christ, if we don't submit our lives into Christ and let him come and shift our hearts are going to gravitate to the nature of man. And if we allow that to happen, we drift from the Lord. We continually drift from the Lord. So, in comparison, God comes with kindness. Man rejects kindness. So God's kindness leads us to fellowship, sonship, and family. Christine has just come into family here. That doesn't mean she was unsaved before. But she's just been received into family. How many of you have been received into family? Now, how many of us have received others into family? Because that's his nature. That's God's nature. So two questions. Have you been received in? And if the answer is no, then speak to one of us. But the second question for me is to those who have been here a while. Have you received others into family? Are we being the hands and feet? Are we those who are still rejecting? Or are we walking in God's kindness towards others? Are we loving on? Are we drawing in? Bit of a heart check. But Christ's rejection being the cornerstone is actually the gateway that is opened. It's the door that is opened for humanity that each and every one of us can step into family. So as he was rejected, as he went to the cross, if he did not go to the cross and shed his blood, we wouldn't be able to step into family. There would be no access. So he paid the price for us that we can receive. In 1 Peter 2, it says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's a question we all got to ask ourselves at some point. Have I received God's mercy? So, short and sweet, we're going to go into worship now. But I'm wanting us to search our hearts as we go into worship. And I think that there's potentially some of us whose hearts might have been hardened to other people and haven't actually included into family. There may be something in your heart of like, oh, actually, I could have done better with this person. I could have done better. You know, that person visited 3 times and I spoke to them all 3 weeks, but I never reached out to them. It could actually be that someone came and gave their life to Jesus and said, I want to serve this God that you serve. I see a family who are relishing in the kindness of the Lord and the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. And they've put their hands up and they've said, oh, I so want to step into that same place of love and kindness and joy and acceptance and sonship. And actually, maybe we didn't do well in coming alongside and loving and drawing in to the family. And then there may be some among us who have never actually made that decision. And something is tugging on your heart of saying, ah, I've desired that kind of relationship all my life.